Many years ago, while serving our first church in Jamestown, New York, we were able to attend a lecture in the auditorium at the Chautauqua Institute, which is not too far out of town. The topic must have been related to medicine and pharmacology because the lecturer asked this question of the audience. How many of you took at least one kind of pill this morning? Almost every hand went up among the 300 or so people in attendance. As a society, we are either over-medicated or very fortunate to be adequately medicated. It is common to have at least one kind of illness that requires attention. And this can vary from minor head cold to chemotherapy, from a need for vitamins to antidepressants. Medical diagnoses and the sheer number of prescriptions filled tell us that on any given day, about 25% of the U.S. population are struggling with situational, seasonal, or chronic depression. Yes, 25%. And that's just those that are getting some kind of treatment. There are surely more that go undiagnosed. That makes for a large number of people trying to fend off some level of sadness or depression. Some mental health experts are calling it an epidemic. People born in the last 5 decades are up to 10 times more likely to deal with depression than those born in the 1950s and earlier. Long ago, a suicide was a rare and sensational last-ditch effort by some poor soul grown desperate to be free of his or her pain. In the last few decades, suicide rates among the young have quadrupled. That is sad and troubling. It is very interesting to note that during this time of increase, the rates of suicide among strict Amish communities have remained stable. This seems to indicate that the ever-increasing pace of modern life, the mounting stresses and responsibilities in our increasingly mobile and global economy, the way we are now inundated with massive amounts of advertisements that tell us we're not quite good enough at this or that, the bad news about the wealth gap, the destruction of the social safety net that should catch those who make a mistake or fail at the game of life, the fragmented communities and increased costs of a basic, decent life, the increase in anger and decrease in kindness in our society, these have all placed an increasingly unbearable burden on our human souls, emotions, and relationships. They sap optimism and faith. They make shooting a classmate or oneself a more likely possibility. Today, there are a lot of anxious and painfully sad people in our society, which means there are many in our churches as well. First Pres is no exception. Every church has people who feel they are walking through a very long and dark valley full of shadows. Here, 2 weeks ago, we saw how Thomas, the angst-filled, doubting loner, discovered that he did indeed belong as a follower of Christ. Last week, we saw how the disciples who had deserted and denied Jesus shown themselves to be fair-weather followers. They had their deep sadness lifted and their place as his followers affirmed by Jesus coming to them. In a similar way, we see all of us addressed in Psalm 23. The shepherd comes to us. This psalm affirms that you are not alone, that we're in this together. We all walk through the dark valley. It affirms that God is with us. It tells you, you belong. Feeling sad in blue is the common cold of mental and emotional disorders. It's a typical part of human existence, yet we treat it like something that's not fit for polite company. It is a fever that comes and goes and hovers either just below the surface of our humanity, occasionally straying above the surface. Such angst and sadness is made even more stark when compared with the episodes of love and peace and joy that we have known in life. Those seasons when our life was nothing but green pastures and our cup was overflowing. The human tendency to obsess over the bad thoughts or comments doesn't help. If we receive 99 words of praise for something we've done, but only one criticism, guess which one we dwell upon. As Koheleth, the author of Ecclesiastes in our Old Testament, notes, God has woven eternity into our souls, and yet those souls live in an imperfect and painful world. Life offers us several dark valleys, and our soul yearns for peace, for a chance to lie down in that green pasture, to drink deep from still waters. It is into this broken and yet beautiful in-between place that we call a human life that the scripture reading of Psalm 23 can minister to us. This is the most well-known, most mentioned psalm. Many people have committed it to memory for the express purpose of having it at the ready when a time of sadness or anxiety comes. Many a person has written of how the words of this psalm have come to them in the dark night of the soul, or simply those times when we lay awake at night in worry, times when we feel a generalized dread but can't really pinpoint the source of that fear, or at times when we know exactly where it's coming from. I've heard people in all of the churches I've served tell me that the words of this psalm, the words about the Good Shepherd, come to mind in times of fear. It is a psalm I often read at funerals when we are at the graveside and we have just helped an old saint lay down in a green pasture. It is also a source of ready comfort and assurance in everyday life, in a hospital or over the phone or over coffee with a friend that's in a time of distress. Psalm 23 is a reminder of what we can claim and what we can lean on as followers of Christ. It tells us that even in our anxious state, God wants to come to us and offer rest and refreshment. God wants us to take a Sabbath day once a week. God wants us to drink deeply of the cup of friendship and kindness that is offered in church fellowship. God wants us to spend time in prayer and worship. God wants us to remember the sound teachings of Christ and the church. These things can restore us. There are times, of course, when turning to comforting words, sound teachings, clear truths, and even scripture can lose its influence. Whether you are seeking your own solace or trying to minister to someone else, sometimes the pain and weariness are such that the best thing we can do, the best thing we can provide, is our presence. The deacons know this. Sometimes telling a person what to believe, what to trust, what to do, though well-intentioned, is misplaced. And the best teaching, the most important words, are the ones we choose not to say. When our own health is at stake, sometimes our own silence is golden. Instead of trying to figure out what is wrong or peruse a bunch of self-help books, go for a walk in the woods. Take the Psalms with you. The quiet can heal. I suspect we've all been there, either as a recipient of someone else's wordless presence or as the visitor trying to help someone else, and you just cannot find any words to say, and you later realize saying nothing was the right thing to do. It has happened to most all of us, and therefore, I think it is a sign that we belong, even in the darkest valley. We belong together, even when we don't feel we deserve those still waters. It is interesting to note that in this most famous of all the Psalms, the Good Shepherd brings profound and enfolding comfort with no words spoken. The psalmist says, "The Lord makes me to lie down," and not, "The Lord lectured me about my lifestyle." And God is God who restores the psalmist, right? The psalmist's soul. The psalmist doesn't try to do this for himself. In this psalm, the Lord does things that require active, present tense verbs. This is not an act of reminiscing. It's an active statement. The Lord leads me. The Lord is with me, comforts, prepares, anoints, dwells with me. The Lord doesn't make me sit and listen to a presentation of the gospel before meeting my need. The Lord just does it. The Lord assures us that we belong, that God wants to minister to us, even in those times when we are totally occupied by our depression and fear. If you are one of the fortunate ones this morning who are not wrestling with or feeling wrestled down by depression or anxiety, there is a good chance someone in your family or a dear friend is. It is important for us to know that God is aware of this, and that the Good Shepherd is there and is with those sheep who feel lost. The shepherd is attending to those who are having a hard time keeping up. The shepherd is with the ones who are walking through the deep valleys. The shepherd calls you to gather with the other sheep. Why? Because a lecture on beliefs and behaviors rarely heals hearts. But belonging does. And you surely belong, just as a sheep belongs to its shepherd. Let us pray. God of compassion and understanding, we thank you for reminding us that your deep, unconditional love knows no bounds. We thank you that you not only understand us, but that you travel with us through the darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death. Amen.